Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. It is written, and the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. It is written. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. The serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You cannot hide from God, though mountains cover you. His eye our secret thoughts behold, his presence will our lives unfold. You cannot hide from God. You cannot hide from God no matter what you do. He meets you at life's every turn. He knows your thoughts that blight and burn. He is sad whenever his son you spurn. You cannot hide from God. You cannot hide from God though quietly you may go. He notes your footsteps ere they fall. His knowledge rules high over all. He hears your silent heartfelt call. You cannot hide from God. You cannot hide from God, this one thing you can do. If you would save your sin-sick soul, if you would be made pure and whole, if you would reach the highest gold, your soul can hide in God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, from Genesis chapter 3, the temptation of Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 3 is one of the most important chapters in the Bible. The temptation of Adam and Eve. Now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. John in Revelation chapter 12 identifies the serpent and describes him this way. The great red dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Jesus referred to the casting out of Satan from heaven when he told the apostles, he beheld Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now the appearance of the serpent was not fearful to Eve. A slow-motion set of pictures of the strike of a rattlesnake in a national magazine showed the snake as he was curled up, as he began to strike, as his mouth was opened, as he closed in on his victim. At the end of the pictures was the statement, the strike of a rattlesnake is a thing of exquisite beauty. I thought to myself, what kind of a mind do you have to see anything beautiful in something as deadly as the bite of a rattlesnake? Actually, that is the kind of a mind Eve had, and that we all have. The devil convinces that the poison of sin is a thing to be desired. I saw an ad for places of entertainment one time that said, where to sin? In Cincinnati. Some would say that Isaiah refers to this casting out of Satan from heaven when he wrote in Isaiah 14, now how thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how thou art cut down to the ground. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Note the five I wills of Satan. I will, I will, I will, I will. I will. Those five I wills of Satan become the five I wills of rebellious mankind. I will not. 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 Again, Ezekiel refers to the casting out of Satan when he writes in the 28th chapter, thou art the anointed cherub. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. Now, there are five questions in Genesis chapter 3, and the first question was, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Notice that the devil tempted Eve. He actually wanted to get at Adam. This is one of the devil's favorite devices. Seduce one person by going through another. He persuades some to live together without wedlock by their observance of the stars of Hollywood. He persuades some to do drugs by their observance of rock and roll sports stars. He persuades some to unfaithfulness in the church service through the indifference of others. In this case, Adam would never have suspected that Eve would be his downfall or that she was his enemy. The devil gets us sometimes through the people we would least suspect. Who would you suspect is plotting your downfall? The bartender? The drug pusher? Wrong. It may be your parents or your preacher. Many would rather side with their parents or preacher in disobedience and go to hell than with God and the saints and go to heaven. The devil misrepresented the Lord in this question. God never said they could not eat of every tree of the garden. but just that one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That is a favorite trick of the devil even to this day. Yea, did God say that? Are you sure that is a good translation? Are you sure you heard right? Would God say a thing like that? Yea, hath God said? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in the midst of the garden, dead center. All the other trees were gathered around it. You couldn't miss it. Evidently, God places a high premium on obedience. Yea, hath God said? The devil told a lie. He said, "You shall not surely die." Ladies and gentlemen, every graveyard tells you the devil is a liar. Mankind is so gullible. They still believe the devil when he says, "You shall not surely die." He still says, "You shall not surely die," when he tells people, "There is no hell." The devil is a liar. He still says, "You shall not surely die," when he tells people that when they die, they are unconscious and are unaware of where they are. The devil is a liar. In the Gospel according to John, Jesus said it for us twice in one verse. "Ye shall die in your sins, except ye believe in me. Ye shall die in your sins." The serpent said, however, "Yea, hath God said?" The devil told her that if she ate of the tree, her eyes would be opened. Her eyes were opened to sin and closed to God's word. Paul said, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, and the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ should not dawn upon them." Eve ate of the tree and then gave to Adam, and he did eat. Those who sin want everybody else to do it. There is nothing that gets a crowd upset any more than a person who drinks lemonade when everyone else is drinking booze. If they do it, they want you to do it. Some say today, "Why did God tell them not to eat of that particular tree?" Since when does God have to explain to us? The fact that He is God is sufficient reason for us to obey His commands without asking why. When you parley with the devil, you always lose. Never debate the devil on an absolute. There is no debate to an absolute. Yea, hath God said. Notice that when the serpent tempted Eve, she was close enough to the tree to look at it. She saw that it was good to look at, and pleasant to the eye, and to be desired to make one wise. Just keep looking at it, Eve. Keep looking at it. Keep looking at it. Look at it long enough, and you will do it. The devil made the fruit of the forbidden tree look bigger and juicier than all the other trees of the garden. The devil always make that which is forbidden look more interesting. The devil was a good teacher. He told her that if she ate of the tree, that she would become wise. The devil was right. After she ate of the tree, she did become wise. She learned a lot of things she didn't need to know. She learned what it was like to be naked. Before she ate of the tree, she had been clothed in light with a sheen of immortality. Now she was completely stripped of that glorious garment and left shivering and naked. The devil was right. She became wise. She passed the course the devil offered in scaredology. For the first time in her existence, she learned what it was like to be afraid. Then she learned the meaning of the declaration, "Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." She surely did become wise, but it was a bitter knowledge. Knowledge as she would have been better off if she had never known. I don't know what it is like, personally, to get drunk, and I don't want to know. I don't know what it is like to participate in an abortion, and I don't want to know. Many of you know all about it, and you would be better off if you had never learned. Her wisdom was bitter knowledge. Then the next question, Adam, where art thou? If a person is not a Christian, you are as close to hell as you can get, and as far away from heaven as you can get. Ask a Christian, where art thou? Are you in the one place in the church where God would want you to be? Does God want you to be an elder or a deacon? Where art thou? Does God want you to be a preacher? Where art thou? On the Lord's day, what would be the answer if God suddenly would ask, where art thou? God knew where Adam was, but he wanted Adam to know that he was lost. Adam tried to hide from God in the bushes. Now, isn't that pathetic? This glorious creation of God sunk so low to such depths of ignorance that he actually thought he could hide from God by getting behind a tree. In Revelation chapter 20, John says that on the judgment day, all will seek to flee away from him who are sinners, and there was found no room for them. There is no place to hide from God. Adam said, I was afraid when I heard thy voice, and I hid myself. Getting close to God after he sinned made Adam uncomfortable. Many now have no use for Bible reading or for church attendance because it puts them too close to the voice of God. The thing that brought Adam to his senses, however, was when he heard the voice of God. And the thing that will bring the nominal church member and the unrepentant to their senses will be on that day when they hear the voice of Jesus as he descends from heaven with a shout and the trump of God. Actually, there is one place you can hide from God. Like Adam, get behind a tree. Adam could not hide from God behind the tree of the garden, but we can hide from the wrath of God behind the tree of the cross. Remember the words of Peter? Him also ye slew, hanging him on a tree. Adam, where art thou? The next question is, who told thee thou wast naked? Evidently, walking around naked posed a problem for Adam. People do not naturally want to do that. Think about it. Do you want to drive out to the mall, remove all your clothes, and walk around naked? How about attending services in the nude? I ask that so that I may ask this. What shame will you feel if you should stand before all the holy angels, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Father, stark naked? Animals have no shame to walk about with their private parts exposed. Perhaps some folk like to expose themselves as much as possible because they are so depraved that they have descended to the level of animals. Evolution has taught them that they're animals, and it is a comfortable feeling for them to be an animal. Animals are not morally responsible. No wonder Daniel said that some will be raised up in everlasting shame and contempt. Paul said in 2 Corinthians that he did not want to be found naked. Jesus bore our shame on the cross. Jesus died naked, so that we might be properly clothed. Jesus said of the faithful of the church in Sardis, they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. God said, who told thee thou wast naked? Because of his nakedness, Adam had made for themselves clothes out of fig leaves. They had designer clothes. On the hip pocket of Eve's jeans was the name of the designer, Satan. Her fig leaf jeans were probably two sizes too small. Adam, no doubt, had a see-through shirt of the same material and a fig leaf suit. The label in his suit said, 100% fig leaf, made in hell. God made them some clothes, however, of the skins of animals to properly clothe them. In a similar way, people try to clothe themselves today in their own fig leaves, the fig leaves of good works. They think that God will accept them if they wear clothes they have manufactured themselves, all of our good works and other plans to get to heaven without Christ are as fig leaves before God. Let God be your tailor. God has provided the right clothing when Paul says it for us in Galatians, the 3rd chapter. As many of us as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. And now the 4th question is, hast thou eaten of the tree that I commanded thee not to eat? The answer to this question was a bunch of excuses. Adam blamed everybody but himself. He said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me gave to me, and I did eat. He said, Lord, you gave that woman to me. It's all your fault. He also blamed Eve. She gave to me, and I did eat. Hast thou eaten of the tree? God knew he had eaten of the tree, but he wanted Adam to admit it. And he finally did confess it. He said, I did eat. Sooner or later, you will confess every sin as an unforgiven sinner. God will ask you if you did it, and you will say, I did fornicate. I did lie. I did steal. I did extort. I did abort my baby. I did murder. I did booze it up. I did push drugs. I did kill. I did it. 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 And now the 5th question in Genesis 3 is, what is this that thou hast done? This is a penetrating question. All who will stand before God in that question will be asked, what is this that thou hast done? Suppose God should ask you on that day, what is this that thou hast done to my church? How will you answer as you think of the fact that it was relegated to last place in the affairs of your life? What is this that thou hast done to my Bible? How will you answer when you remember that you never bothered to read it? What is this that thou hast done to my son? What a question that is to ask some who will think of the hundreds of invitations they spurned on earth. To this question, Eve continued in the excuse-making mode. She blamed the devil. But be it remembered that Eve was not assaulted. The devil did not force-feed her that forbidden fruit. She took of the fruit herself and ate it. It seems that the big mistake that Adam and Eve made was that they disobeyed a simple, direct, easy-to-be-understood command of God. How could they fail to understand? You shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. No way to misunderstand what this meant. This is the sin of many today. They have disobeyed a simple, direct, easy-to-understand command in regards to salvation. In answer to the question on the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God's word cannot be any more simple than that. That command is just as simple as the command, thou shalt not kill. For those who object, we have nothing to say. If what Peter said is not plain enough, I can't make it any plainer. Now this, in conclusion. So God drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. God did not cut down the tree. Eternal life is still there, but it will always be just beyond the reach of mortal man. The flaming sword will turn every way. The fall of Adam and Eve demonstrates the power of one sin. Because of that one sin, all of the human race will die. If that one sin was that powerful, how much power does even a dozen sins of yours have? We are responsible for our own sins, not for Adam's. Ezekiel tells us that God will not hold us responsible for the sins of our fathers. I'm not responsible for the sins of my father or my grandfather or my great-grandfather, I am not responsible for the sins of any of my ancestors all the way back to Adam. The only thing I inherit from Adam is death. Aside from that, I am responsible only for my sins. Now it says the sword turned every way. If some way had been left unguarded, Adam might have tried it and made his own way back to the tree of life. But no matter how he might try to find a way, that sword always stood in the way. Other men through the ages have fared no better. No matter what way they may try to get to paradise, the flaming sword will turn that way and stop them. It turned every way. Some may try to circle around to the right and climb up the steep path of good works, but the cherubims will turn that way with a flaming sword. This event reminds us of the golden cherubims on the mercy seat as they guarded the Ten Commandments in the Ark of the Covenant. The cherubim at the gate of the Garden of Eden also guarded God's law, which could not be changed. In the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. God's law cannot be changed. Man could not find a way back to the tree of life, but God did find a way. His Son became a man. God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Jesus is saying now to you, as he said to the church at Ephesus, to him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. If you want to help, the broadcast address is Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition only as you reach back to us with your letters of support. Can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles? The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Until next week at the same time, don't forget, tell somebody, somehow, in some way, that as far as the Christian is concerned, God is just a prayer away.